Please note, this article written by Scott L. of Ghostly Talk in 2004 was intended for satirical and entertainment purposes only within the paranormal community.
Welcome to Scott L.'s Guide to Conducting Your Very Own Ghost Tour.
Okay, once you have solidified the personnel within your ghost hunting group by keeping one together for more than a week, you are going to need to find a means to generate income in order to finance your operations. Ghost hunting is an expensive hobby, and it gets even more expensive when you promise t-shirts to your group with the club's sterling silver-laced logo on the back, with each member's name sewn on the front of them with real purebred stallion horsehair, for example. A real profitable and reliable method to generate income for your ghost hunting group will be to take one of the theoretically haunted highway rest stops, public bathrooms, mobile homes, or topless bars that you have investigated for paranormal activity, and for a small fee, take the, what we call in the business, people who don't know squat, on a tour of the area. This will help you accomplish three things. Make you an easy ton of money. Increase your spending power in the paranormal community. And most importantly, raise your paranormal profit margin with the most minimal effort possible. There are other positives less sophisticated people have noted, like learning stuff on these tours and collecting evidence. But who is here to learn anyway, right? 1. The first thing you are going to need to do is pick the most haunted area that you know of to have your tours. That could be a tough decision, though, so I suggest talking it out with your group members to get their opinion.
Where should we have the ghost tour?
How about the Indian burial ground up the road that you pissed on while you were reciting lines from the Necronomicon last week?
Shut up! Did I ask you to talk?
How about at the old abandoned barn where you tried to beat that ugly crack whore from the bar the other night?
I don't remember asking for your opinion. I got it. We'll use the old cemetery. You know, the one next to the nuclear energy plant, a couple miles down the road. It's really close. Those biohazard signs they posted up all over the place, they're BS anyways.
Good work. You got over the tallest hurdle. The next thing you will need to do is develop a pricing plan for your tour. There are a few things to figure into this, so take your time with it. Here are a few examples of things you will need to take into account. A. Gas for your mom's van to transport all of your guests from the rendezvous to the haunted area. Seeing that the place that you picked out in this situation is only a couple miles away, we can say at a price of 35 cents a mile, you will be blowing around $1.40 on each ghost tour round trip. B. It would be smart to purchase a small hazard insurance policy for the safety of your patrons, but it would be cheaper to just bury them out there if they get hurt or killed, so forget it. C. Most ghost tours have hot chocolate and cookies before and after the tour, but you found a good deal on Slim Jims and were able to secure a metric ton of them for only 50 cents. So let's break this down, shall we? $1.40 per round trip for gas, $0 for hazard insurance, and finally, just to get some numbers going, a little math if I may. 50 cents divided by 1 metric ton, which equals 2,200 pounds, equals 2.3 pieces of Slim Jim per tour for the patrons to fight over at an assigned, and I stress the word assigned, value of 3 cents. That totals out to $1.43 per trip, with the standard markup of 2,500% would equal to $35.75 per person per tour. There you go. Wasn't that easy? 2. The next thing you need to do is put together a good promotions campaign in order to attract attention to your little one-night adventures. There are a variety of ways you can advertise, such as buying ad space in publications like the Phenomena News, or the world-renowned, groundbreaking, brilliant, awe-inspiring, arousing, genius, mind-numbing, and worship paranormal talk show called Ghostly Talk. The guys from Ghostly Talk are total suckers, too. They advertise tons of stuff free of charge on their site, all for the reason of, get this, helping the paranormal community. So obviously, you're better off finding suckers like Ghostly Talk, whether you have to threaten them with public sodomizing for advertising space or not, because advertising space can be quite expensive. And seeing that you've already maxed out your mom's credit card, pawned everything your pregnant girlfriend owns, and have borrowed to the hilt from the members of your group, your options are limited. 3. Once you have executed the proper exploitation of your little event, you should have patrons lining up for miles. Your inbox should be over quota with PayPal donations. The local news station should be out in front of your house wanting an exclusive. Your snail mail should be delivered every day in a flatbed truck with envelopes stuffed full of checks and cash. Now, here is the part where you can just say forget it, run with all the money to some crack house, party all the money you made away for the next 2 weeks, and then go into hiding for the next year, which is likely. But let's just say you do not do that and decide to fulfill your obligation that you are responsible for. Put together small groups of people who sent in money of about 40 to 50 to meet at the rendezvous of your choice. Yeah, a number that will be easy to communicate with and control in a dark cemetery with no lighting whatsoever. Pile them into your mom's van, and when it gets too full, squeeze the remaining few patrons in with a plunger. After that, throw the 2.3 Slim Jims in once all the patrons are seated, or at least not screaming anymore. Once you arrive at the destination, inform your guest that you are there. There are a few rules that you should inform your guest of before you begin the tour. No punching, no biting, no kicking, and of course, no hallucinogenic drug consumption, at least until everyone gets back to the rendezvous. Make sure to point out spots as you walk through the area where violent and horrific atrocities have happened, real or not. For example,
this tree right in front of us is where Duncan Lauletta hung himself. He was in the midst of an intense autoerotic asphyxiation episode, and the chair slipped. His ghost is said to have been seen in front of this tree from time to time, humping it.
That should give everyone the heebie-jeebies to the point of wetting themselves, and then your job is easy. Now all your job is stopping every couple of minutes of the tour and saying, "Did you hear that?" Or, "Did you see that?" Or, "I feel sick." After about a half an hour of this, pretty much everyone will be out for your mom's van chain smoking and telling each other that they felt like something went through them on the tour in between taking hits from the community joint. If the cops have not shown up by now, you may want to squeeze everyone back into your mom's van because a neighbor close by is probably calling the police to tell them they smell marijuana coming from the cemetery next to their house as we speak. Drive everyone back to their rendezvous and blow them off, even if they have pertinent questions concerning the tour, by informing them that last call at your favorite bar is in 10 minutes. Hope you enjoyed the tour!
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts Doug and Scott O.
I want to remind everybody that the music that we play during our break...
That wasn't music, that was me.
Well, that was your thing, but normally we do music during the breaks. And all music here on Ghostly Talk is independent music, independent bands, and folks who really want you to hear their stuff. And we're providing a showcase, a forum, a place.
We missed
them
at 7:30, sorry.
Yeah, we missed that one, but we will get all the as many submissions as we possibly can.
We've got a whole list waiting for us.
Because
right now.
I am a big fan of independent music, and all the work that everybody is doing in their garage and basement studios and folks going to paying for the recording all by themselves. I admire each and every musician and band that gets together and does that. So independent music is here on Ghostly Talk during the breaks. This is
how could you forget about this?
I can't forget about this. As a matter of fact, on the break, I ran back in order to talk to him. This is... wow. Legendary celebrity psychic Kenny Kingston was born to the seventh daughter of a seventh daughter, a very psychic sign. He credits three women in his life with helping him to develop his psychic ability. His grandmother, Catherine Walsh Clark, taught him to read tea leaves when he was four. His beloved mother, Kay, taught him psychometry, touching an object and picking up psychic vibrations from it when he was seven. And legendary film immortal and family friend, Mae West, taught him clairaudio, that's listening to a voice and picking up psychic vibrations, when he was nine. Throughout his childhood and as a young adult, Kenny gave psychic messages and readings to friends and neighbors, many of whom were involved in politics and show business. Word spread, and soon he was performing on radio and television, as well as appearing live in lectures. Kenny has appeared on more television shows than any other psychic, guesting repeatedly on major talk shows around the world. He's hosted his own television series twice. Kenny Kingston, A Psychic Experience in the Late 70s in the Los Angeles area, and The Kenny Kingston Show for syndication in the East Coast during the 1990s. And I remember a lot of the work that he had done throughout the years. Mm-hmm. I've seen him and his career for my whole life, and I admire this fellow. We are very, very blessed.
And honored
to talk to Kenny Kingston. His website, www.kennykingston.org. Kenny, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you, Sweet Spirit. Good to be here.
Where do we start?
I don't know.
You want to pick someone's brain like this? My goodness.
I want to start at the beginning, Kenny. I obviously, you know, before 7 and 9 years old, you were into the paranormal sort of happened to you. And then you grew up with this. You've obviously had to have met people who didn't come into their own until their 20s or their 30s or their 50s, you know, things like that, and realize, hey, there's a whole paranormal world around us. And how would it be different for somebody who grew up around this compared to folks who are just now in their adult years learning about the paranormal?
You know, I really can't answer that because, forgive me for saying this, but I don't think I've ever dealt with any normal people.
You're definitely not on this show.
You're not here either.
You're in good company.
You haven't started on Ghostly Talk, believe me. because I just wonder, because I've grown up around the paranormal. I've always been interested in it, but I do know people, and I have talked to people who, you know, they're a lawyer, or they're a banker, or they're mired in their lives, and then something happens to them. You know, they'll get a visit from a deceased relative and totally open their eyes to the paranormal. They'll see a UFO, totally open their eyes to the paranormal, and a sudden switch. See, I don't know what that's like, so I was wondering if along the lines you had developed a theory as to why the paranormal will suddenly, make itself known to people.
It's always been known to people to a certain degree. I mean, you always run into somebody. I believe we were called years ago, and maybe sometimes we still are called fortune tellers. But I think ever since the world began, we were around.
And I think so, too. The stories, the sheer number of stories that have, propagated throughout the years about the paranormal, they're campfire stories, the sitting around the card table kind of stories. You just hear these things over and over, and I think everybody's heard a good ghost story. I've met people who say, I am a skeptic. I don't know why you have that show. I don't know why you talk on the
You know what to tell them? You tell them there's no such a thing as a skeptic. There's only a degree of believer.
Only
a degree of believer.
I like that a lot because I think even the staunchest skeptic has heard ghost stories and been I think it's excited their imaginations and
important sometimes people that say that are fearful of what message they're going to get. You know, they're always so fearful, but spirits are good people. I would rather have a conversation with a spirit than some of the people so-called sane.
So would I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Yep. So, right. Me too, quite often. How has things changed in the recent times? Because I know how the psychic and spiritual and paranormal world was back in the 70s. That's when I was growing up, and it was fun. It was definitely entertaining. I don't remember the seriousness as now. But what I want to know is your perspective when you were a kid versus growing up versus now. how has the paranormal world and how the media and how people sitting around the coffee table deal with it, how has that changed over the years?
Well, you know, for instance, my family's friend, great friend, was a judge, a Superior Court judge. But he was, before he was judge, he was an attorney. And I was about, I don't know, 3-4 years old, and I said to him, Joe, that was his name. And I said, Joe, judge. And he said, what is he saying? And, of course, my mother understood thoroughly, and my people surrounding me did. And he said, you're going to be a judge. Mm. He said, that's about as possible as my jumping off a river, right now. And he became the attorney as he was. Then he became mayor of Buffalo, New York. Then he became city court judge.
Wow.
So it happened.
Yes, it did.
Well, you know, it's amazing, I think. Well, it's never happened to me. I mean, I think people make predictions for me like that.
How do you know? When you were three, probably it just came to you. You know, you didn't...
Sure.
But how do you know these things? Does it really come to you? Or is there a signal that all of a sudden you know, this person is going to be a judge? Or, I mean, does it just happen, or do you ask? How does the information come to you?
When you are brought up as a child, with great friends such as Mae West and Marion Davies, you know, the most famous mistress in the world, mm-hmm. she was William Randolph Hearst's mistress, you rather get used to that type of a person. And once you've told them something that materialized, that's it. They rarely ever question you again. As an example, we held a seance the other night again because someone wanted it here that came over, a very, very well-known personality, was going back to London. And we held a seance again and picked up again Diana, Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surprising that I did predict many, many, many years ago that Charles would never be king. And I said that Prince William will be king. Now, the other night, and it made all the papers in Europe, what I said the other night made every newspaper in Europe and India, all over. And I said that she no longer wants William to be king. She wants Prince Harry. Also that she definitely wants Gwyneth Paltrow to play her on a big screen. She wants Gwyneth Paltrow.
Wow.
And, of course, in the headlines, a great deal in the headlines now, is Phil Spector.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Even if he's guilty, even if he were guilty, he could pass his lie detector test because he would be in a sort of a trance or a semi-trance. And any polygraph would automatically slip him by.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice he doesn't. If you notice him on the silver screen or on television, that he doesn't behave badly at all. He behaves quite like a normal person.
Yeah.
But going back to Princess Diana, what happened is many years ago, over 10 years ago. I was playing London. I was doing some television shows in London, and the editor of the Star, the Daily Star, called me and he said, "I would like to have you give me the auras, if you will. We'll set up a charge, and you can charge whatever you want, and we'll figure out what we're going to do. We're going to send you in America a chart. We want to boost the publication." The population and the circulation of the Daily Star. So what they did was that they sent me various people's pictures that I really didn't know. But among them, of course, I did know Her Royal Highness, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But there came 15 years ago when all the photographs came to me, I just sent back them color, whatever color aura they had.
Mm-hmm.
And then told them, you know, but I also told her that she Lucy would do something very shortly that she could regret a lifetime. And, of course, that was when she gave the book to Morton.
Mm-hmm.
I also said she suffered a digestive tract. Now, the monarchy, the British Empire, took out the word bulimia or anything of that nature because they don't believe in that type of a thing for the royals. But anyway, I did say that she would pass away between July and November, and it would be in a fast-moving car. It's all printed in the Daily Star. A long time, long, long, long time before it happened. You
wow.
know?
Yeah, yeah. And you
now,
said...
Now, it seems very strange, but I was the psychic to the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. Now, I had always adored that couple. I never met them, but as a child of 6, 7 years old, when he abdicated the throne for the woman he loved, I wanted to meet him. I wanted a lifetime, I thought, if I have to. I've got to meet this couple. Well, I was in the Army. I was in a bathing suit on the Lido. We formed the West Point of Europe mm-hmm. during the war so that we could have more non-commissioned officers and commissioned officers. And I was walking the beach an afternoon I had free on the Lido, and a woman passed by, and she said, "Oh, hello," not thinking I was American. And I said, "Hello, how are you?" Well, she said, "Oh, you're American." So we started a chat. She was a very heavy-set woman and very ordinary-looking. And it turned out that she said to me, "You know, you've told me so many things. I have a friend I'm living with now, a couple. I would love to have you meet them because she just adores hearing what's going to happen to her and things about her past." She said, "Would you like to meet her?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't know who it was. And she said, "Well, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if you're in our villa, which is across the street from the beach, I'll introduce you to her, and you can give her a brief reading or whatever you want." So the next day at 3 o'clock, I rang the doorbell, the maid showed me in, and there she was. Oh, by the way, this woman said to me, "By the way, I'm Elsa Maxwell."
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know Elsa Maxwell?
I am not familiar with her.
All right, Elsa Maxwell was probably the most famous party giver in the world.
Okay.
And she had not a nickel. She had no money. But she lived on the commission that she secured from very wealthy people when she booked them, like she would book. Anyway, making a long story short before I go into that, she said, "In just a minute, she'll be here. She's on the telephone." Well, my God, presently, this woman walked in, and I stood up. I thought, this is impossible. And she said, "Kenny Kingston, may I introduce to you Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Windsor."
Wow.
And from then on, I became their confidant, his confidant, but mm-hmm. she really appreciated and loved it much more than David. David is the name given to him, you know, a pet name.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dutch, by the way, all right, now, how did Elsa make money? She charged for every party that the Duke and Duchess of Windsor attended, they were paid $25,000. And, of course, she got a commission. Well, not too long ago, when Diana passed away, she was greeted by the Duchess of Windsor. Now, you three of you there can say to me, "Well, how did the Duchess of Windsor, and why did she meet and greet Princess Diana?" Well, simple, because when he abdicated, he was given the title His Royal Highness the Duke of Windsor,
mm-hmm.
but she was only given the title the Duchess of Windsor, or Her Highness the Duchess of Windsor. All right, she never received that royal title.
Yeah.
When Diana divorced Prince Charles, she was stripped of her title, and she was only given the title Her Highness the Duchess of, in her case, Her Highness the Princess of Wales.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, that's what they had in common. That's why she greeted her.
Because there is a huge difference between Her Highness and Her Royal Highness.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous. Tremendous, as a matter of fact. They, who celebrated together Easter, last Easter, who celebrated together was Princess Diana, the Duchess of Windsor, and, believe it or not, Queen Mom. Now, Queen Mom, as you know, was 100 and something when she passed.
Yeah.
But I used to read for her all the time in England, and she despised the Duchess because when King George, her husband, had to accept the throne because he wasn't well. He wasn't feeling well at all. He was a sick man. And she never forgave the Duchess for shortening his life period. But now that they're on the other side, everything is Jim Dandy. Whole three of them.
Wow, oh, that's absolutely fantastic. And what's life like over there then? Is it parties? Is it a lot of work? What do spirits do on the other side?
The Duchess of Windsor is teaching Queen Mom gardening.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's teaching her gardening.
Not quite party like.
That's not a party, but it is.
Oh, they have good times. But see, people say, well, do they get drunk? They don't have to. When you're in that feeling, when you have that wonderful, wonderful moment of being over there, you're happy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you want it because you can contact. That's the difference between spirit and a ghost. A ghost is someone you have to fear, but a spirit is a loving entity that guides you and aids you and comforts you.
Well, wait a minute. You said, now, I was going to ask you that anyways, but you brought it up. Thank you. You're saying that a ghost is something that you have to fear?
Yeah, because a ghost doesn't know they're passed over. See, a ghost does not realize that they've passed over.
You've heard that,
so
yeah.
They could come into your home and do anything destructive that they can to you or to your home. So that's why you always want to... say if you're a good and put the white light of protection around you all the time so that a negative spirit such as a ghost can't get in.
Okay. But a spirit itself is benevolent. A spirit's passed over and they know they've passed over. They've experienced that euphoria of being passed over. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I mean, it's cool. Everything's totally
sure.
Good with them. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
But a ghost carries all the baggage and everything from being
yeah.
alive and now has a tough time dealing with it or even doesn't even know about it.
Sure. Don't you see people and they'll say, ghost time,
yeah.
It's ghost time.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Wow. And have you run into ghosts? And
oh, sure.
And how
I never was in... harmed by them because I never leave the house, as I tell all my clients, regardless of whether they're famous or not famous. One client to me is just as important as the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them, be sure and put the white light of protection around you so that no negative entity can dare enter.
And
I
wholeheartedly agree with that, and I've reminded people over and over before going in to any investigations or anything, to definitely, you know, picture yourself in the white light or
absolutely,
you know, pray or do whatever it takes to
yep.
make sure that you are protected. And
absolutely,
yes, I definitely am a firm believer in that. Kenny, we have to take a break, and I'm so depressed because this is just fascinating stuff.
We got play to come, though. I know we do.
We have another half hour with you, right? And,
yeah.
And I do want to talk about people that you have talked to, and about their other people's progress in developing their own abilities, that kind of thing. I want to see how that's going.
Yeah.
Sure.
But we'll have to do that after the break, if that's okay.
Well, you have to make money.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah,
that,
we have to play these.
That's to be expected.
Right. We don't make any money.
Right, we're playing these for friends and things like that. This
yeah,
is purely donated time right
well,
now.
Well, God bless you.
This is donated time. So we'll do that, and then we'll be right back with more from Kenny.
I look forward to seeing you.
While we are on break, I want everybody to run over to their computers and type in www.kennykingston.org. read it through, and enjoy while we're playing this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 a.m. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Thank you. Start making plans now to join us for the paranormal event of 2007.
The Halloween Spooktacular, October 27th at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor, author of 50 of the best-known books on haunted history, not to mention the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Meet the rock and roll ghost hunter Keith Dage from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked, and Del Kazmarek, president of the renowned Ghost Research Society.
Join in the discussion with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and psychic detective Ken Berg.
Meet Becky Ray and Laura Moon, host of Darker Side of the Moon Radio, and of course, there's us.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, live from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
If that's not enough, folks, there's a free tour of the Greenwood Cemetery and a big screen viewing of the 1932 classic movie, The Old Dark House.
There's even a haunted Decatur tour and a late-night hunt of the Lincoln Theater itself, sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Seating is limited, folks. Make reservations now at www.prairieghost.com/halloween.html or by calling 888-446-7859. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express accepted.
It's not just spooky.
It's spooktacular!
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
We're back. We are. We're talking with Kenny Kingston of www.kennykingston.org. That's his main site, so you can go there and learn all about him and his incredible accomplishments during this lifetime, and that still continue, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That of affecting people from royals and celebrities to everyday people, affecting their lives through giving them the psychic readings and teaching folks about the paranormal world that really is around all of us. So, Kenny, you're still around, right? You're still here?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Good. The,
thank goodness.
Yeah. He's probably like, oh, these ghostly talk people. I'm just going to hang up on them. But we're in a whole new millennium now, and I think that I believe, that people are starting to acknowledge the paranormal realms around us. The supernatural is becoming more natural, I think, through television shows and through the media and things like that. And I've noticed that it's becoming more and more interesting to talk about because there's a lot more people who run across these shows and things like that that are starting to talk about the paranormal. And, of course, it's normal to a lot of us, and you've done your part. You've been on the TV, you've been on radio, you've been all over the place, talking about what you do, which, of course, every single minute of coverage, I think, is making it more and more acceptable to talk about. Does everybody who watches these shows have psychic abilities?
Everyone is born with psychic ability, but the question is, to what degree? You see, because sometimes some people think that they have this degree, they open, a storefront and start giving readings. And that's dangerous. You have to be very, very careful because we're directing people's lives. It's almost like a surgeon, who is not proficient in doing a surgery. He could cost lives. But how to learn to become psychic, as you mentioned, you can get booklets from my website, how my suggestions as to how your wonderful sweet spirits can get the information that they need to carry on their life.
And do they? What are the goals that people have? Are they looking to talk to departed loved ones? Are they looking to explain occurrences in their home? Are they looking to? What are they looking for when they look into this stuff?
If you came to me, let me ask you this, reverse the question.
Yes.
If you came to me for a reading, what would you want to know?
What would I want to know?
Ooh. Am I going to be rich?
I'm dying to hear the answer to this.
That's a really good question, Kenny. I'm now.
Oh, you're getting put on the
spot
this time. You do it. It always happens to me, Doug.
I would want to know mostly about my family. My relationship. I love my family to death, and I absolutely want to know that they are okay, that everything's on track, that everything will be okay in the future, that none of them are going to run out and join a cult, or, you know, things like that.
Sure.
That everybody's
sure.
safe
sure.
and secure and sound and set in this life. That's
well, everybody wants a different question. One person will come and say, I'm wondering if I should open this business. Another one will say, I think I'm in love with Marilyn. I think I'm in love with Helen. I think I'm in love with George. Is that the person? Is that my mate? Is that my soulmate? Should I marry that person? Should I open this new business? Just umpteen questions. Or I want to know, my mother passed away just the other day, or last week, or last month, or whatever. I just want to know that she's okay, or my father, or my husband, or my wife. That's what they want to know. I am a medium, which is different than a psychic. A psychic is somebody, surely, who can tell you about the past. Incidentally, everyone, medium or psychic, if you go to a reader, they must tell you something about your past,
mm-hmm.
because that's the credential that they're telling you something in the future that you know. There's a lot of television psychics, and I'm not going to name them, but who are on regularly, and they will let you ask a question. Well, anybody, any charlatan can answer a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But first of all, prove yourself. Tell them a soupçon, just a little bit about themselves, so that they can be convinced that you are definitely the person they want to have read them.
Hmm. And I like that advice.
Yeah.
I really do, because if you go to a reader, and it could be anywhere, it could be at some of these conventions that we go to.
We just
played one a little while ago.
Yeah. You really do want to, anybody who you're going to take advice from, or any, you know, I mean, this is a reality check kind of thing.
Yeah.
Make sure that they're the right person for you. Make
Absolutely.
Sure they know something about you. And of course, because it's a psychic or a medium, have them tell you that thing that they know about you. I think that that's an absolutely brilliant idea.
Well, there's
yeah, but just a little bit. Just, you know, they don't want to hear their whole history. They know that. But just a little bit about themselves, so that they then can fall comfortably into what you tell them about the future.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you get future predictions?
I listen to a spirit voice. I'm lost if you don't bring with you a spirit. You must bring a spirit with you, even though you don't know, perhaps, that you're bringing a spirit. You could have gone to school with a girl 20 years ago, but she passed away, and she comes in spirit with you to tell you how your relatives are on the other side, or what she understands is going to happen to you in the future.
Interesting.
Well, yeah.
So we travel around with various spirits then.
Oh, sure. Sure. Howard Hughes came for readings, or Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn was really only basically interested in her, right? As a matter of fact, I live in Studio City, which you know is between Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I'm perched up on a mountain, and if I look over my pool, I can see part of Beverly Hills and part of Hollywood. Now, I do my readings at a table many, many years ago that Marilyn Monroe gave to me, and four chairs, when she was married to Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, you've got history right there.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Well, my thing, what I was thinking actually, when you said that, you know, for, and you gave us an example, you know, you're lost if there's no spirit with the person that you're doing this work on.
Oh, absolutely.
And you use an example such as maybe a lady you went to school with, for example, 20 years ago, who may have passed away. What I'm interested in is why that person, I mean, depending on your relationship with that person also.
Sure.
Maybe you had a very deep relationship. Maybe you dated that person. Maybe
yeah.
you were dear friends with that person. But maybe even then, maybe you just knew that person in passing.
So do
what attracts them to you?
Do acquaintance spirits, like folks that you were familiar with in your life, but not all that familiar with, just acquaintances, do they come around too?
Oh, sure. Sure. You see, there's a lot of people that care for you that have gone on to the other side much more than you cared for them. They were just an acquaintance for you, but for some reason, perhaps you were a relative in a past life, but not in this life. And they realize they were when they go on to the other side. You see, one thing I think we should establish, most important, is that nobody, and I say to you, sweet spirits, nobody can dare tell you when someone is going to pass away. That is God's job. No medium, no psychic in this world. However, we can say, for instance, somebody's mother should be quite ill, and you see a dark cloud around the person's aura. That would be because that mother perhaps is going to pass. You might just very easily say, don't forget now, Sunday's a good day to send your mother a bouquet of flowers,
mm-hmm.
or what have you. You can break the news, but you don't have the right, nor can you really do it. Because God, I really believe that God is subject to change.
Wow. Okay, now, that's fantastic, because that is something I had never thought about.
What, God can change his or her mind?
Yes,
sure.
I think that that's fantastic, because I always, for some reason, had thought, you know, the world is the way it is, the people are the way they are, their destinies are the way they are, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, just everything just sort of all happens, and it happens for a reason, and it
well,
happens
that's what
for
I
good
said.
And
yeah.
bad. But I never thought that the plan could change while it's happening.
Sure.
But you're right. I don't see why, God and the angels and everybody couldn't say, you know what?
We need to rework this thing.
Let's work on this plan a bit. And then, rework it, and then things follow a little different line. I think that that's fantastic. I'm going to have to study that. That's a very interesting thought, Kenny. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I'm trying. I mean, I'm dumbfounded right now.
I am too. I am too, because the ramifications of that are phenomenal. Have you ever run into people who you've given a reading to who've come back and said that you've dramatically changed their lives for the better?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Are they, for the most part, they're better off for this, right?
Oh, they're happier.
Happy.
They're more content. They're happier. They're more content.
And is it the information that you get, right? The quality of the information has to be directly related to the spirit that you're getting the information from, right? Have you run into a trickster spirit? Somebody who's maybe playing a joke or something, or are they beyond that?
No. They joke.
Yeah.
They do. They have a sense of humor. I mean, if you want to be practical, God had a wonderful sense of humor. Look in the mirror and see what he developed.
Yes, I agree. I'm constantly working on what he developed.
He has a wonderful sense of humor.
Oh, that's absolutely fascinating. Do you go out to conventions or...
I love it.
Yeah? Because I know there's one there on the West, or there's several on the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that they're getting, you know, larger and more fun to be at,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And when you're there, do you go around and talk to just random people, or do you...
I have a circle, you know, usually... You usually am there to autograph a book,
or
something of that nature, and then I will give a lecture a mass lecture.
Yes.
With maybe a couple of hundred people.
Yeah.
And then people from that say, oh, I really want a private reading. Then my secretary just lines up an appointment for them for a private reading. I have people, you know, come regularly from London. They come regularly from every state in the Union, come regularly to me for readings.
Has somebody really surprised you?
Pardon me?
Has somebody really surprised you that you just met at a conventions or even out and about? Maybe you're out to dinner and somebody just surprises you with either their aura or their spirit or their knowledge.
Oh, sure.
I want to know, because I'm a people person. Right, I think.
Oh,
a lot
no,
of
you hate
are.
Everybody.
No, I really do enjoy people and their stories and what they talk about, and I love it. So I want to know about people you've run across, just that completely taken you off guard. Like, wow, I am so glad I ran into that person and we had that little chat. Who can you remember any of them? Like, it could be Betty from New Jersey. It could be, you know, I mean, it doesn't, I don't want to get, like, specific. I don't want to call them out on the radio.
You know,
it's
happened so often that people have surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is set in stone when they come for a private reading or when I meet someone. I just believe everyone is good until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's a good way to look at it too. But of course, give themselves a little bit of rope and sometimes they'll hang themselves with it.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah. No question.
But I'm definitely a people person. I think you are too, because you're so easy to get along with and easy to talk to, and you've got so these wonderful stories. So I was wondering if somebody had just really, cuz I met a fellow this past weekend at a convention we went to in Louisville, Kentucky. And it turns out, this has just absolutely floored me. I was so happy to have met this person. It turns out his hobby is to dress up as a medieval knight.
Yep.
And then they do, like, you know, sword fighting in their club, right? And evidently,
sure.
it's quite an extensive hobby. I mean,
he's one of those people.
Well, I think it's phenomenal. I got pictures. He sent photos to my email.
Okay.
And I was just so incredibly happy to have met him because I would have never been exposed to this as a hobby. Not that I'm going to run out and buy a knight suit of armor or anything, but I didn't know that people actually did that. I didn't. I was so pleased to have heard his talk to him about it. It just totally surprised me that this person actually entered my life.
Yes, I understand. Well, when you're going to another large exposition and they have speakers, tell them to call me and book me at that convention, and then we'll all meet.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
That idea. That would be awesome.
Well, we have no shortage of appearances we're doing and going to conventions and stuff like that, so I think we might be able to call somebody and see if we can get you out there, if you're down with that, if you're cool with that, Kenny.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I think we should.
That would be absolutely fantastic. I would love
we'll
that.
We'll have to discuss that one later.
We'll also have to cut down on the antics. We'll have to be on our best behavior.
Yeah, Kenny.
Sometimes we get a little wild, but
you know what? Well, I wanted to roll back to one thing. I kind of like froze up, and the reason was is because I can't breathe right now. So my nose stuffed up again on me. So I'm probably talking to the right nose. But one of the things you mentioned, Kenny, earlier is that. There are some, you made a statement that, you know, some people in your life, you may not care for that much. They may not be
closely related or involved in your life. I mean,
but on the other hand, though, on the other side, this particular person that you may not feel that much for, they may think the world of you, right? And doesn't that doesn't that directly apply to famous people? I mean, any type of famous person. I mean, famous people, depending on what their trade is, whether they're actors or they do radio or whatever it may be, they affect, you know, sometimes millions of people, right? And
of course,
yeah.
They're all the same. You know, a person who is a star in their field, whatever field that there may be in. Just as an example, I did a couple of years back, I used to do a lot of military shows. I would take a troop out, singers, dancers, where they really, the boys needed in a desolate area where they really needed. This is many, many, many years ago now that this happened.
Yeah.
And I had a singer who was not very good. She thought she was, but she really wasn't. But she was very, very attractive looking, very sexy looking. And of course, the boys loved her. They didn't care whether she was good or not.
Yeah.
Because in my show also, at that time, there was a girl by the name of Miss Huffman, who happened to be Miss San Francisco, and she changed her name to Barbara Eden.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That was the type of people. But anyway, the pianist got sick and couldn't go with us to Washington. So we got a pianist, a military pianist, because it was a military show. A major called me and he said, I'll give you so-and-so, and he can accompany anybody and he's good. All right, well, Helen, it was a girl's name, nobody pleased her. And when she heard that my regular accompanist couldn't go, she was distraught. So when we got where we were going, she said, I've got to rehearse with this sergeant, because I can tell by looking at him, he doesn't know what he's doing. I said, sure, we'll rehearse with him. So we rehearsed with him, and then we did the show, and she said, I told you, he's absolutely horrible. He's worse than anybody. But at the end of the show, each show, the first show, I said, I want to take this opportunity to introduce to you a gentleman who's filling in as my accompanist, because my own personal one is ill. So please give a wonderful round of applause to a gentleman who just wrote An American in Paris, Sergeant Andre Previn.
Oh.
Well, now she says, well, you know, I don't think it's him that's so bad. I think it's the piano. You see?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that unmitigated gall? But that's what she said.
That is absolutely hilarious. That, wow, Kenny, I hate this because we are like,
well, we
what,
got a couple
minutes?
Minutes. Yeah,
how
got,
many?
Well,
I'm not even looking at the clock.
3 minutes. 3 minutes.
That's terrible.
It's terrible.
What's,
I agree.
What's coming up for you, Kenny? What's on your plate?
What's coming up for me? I'm writing another book right now.
Yes.
I'm writing another book, and I've been talking to my agent. He wants me to do a television show, a reality show, like Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Haunted, where we would go to haunted houses and just bring not celebrated people, but just Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and get their opinion of a haunted house.
That sounds fantastic.
And I'm writing a new book, and I'm writing a book called I Knew Them All from A to Z.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah, and that's going to be a fun book, you know, because it's reminiscing about all the wonderful people I've had the pleasure of knowing through the years.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be very busy for the next couple of years. Right?
Yeah. Well, I hope so, you know. That's what I plan on doing. Because we can't even think of retiring, can we?
We yeah. talked about that before we went on the air, before
absolutely.
We even started. And that, yeah, you said that. You're like, you know, somebody mentioned something about retiring. And then he's like, you said that you're like, well, that means you're tired. Why would you want to do something like that?
You don't want to
see,
do
now
that.
See, now you're a good student. You're a good student. You remember.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and you were right. The word tired is in the word retired.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean.
And you don't want to get tired again. So what you do is you keep active.
Not.
And you keep active and you keep doing your stuff. And, Kenny, I am so glad that you're out there doing this and telling
people.
Going.
Yeah,
telling
man.
People the paranormal is the new normal.
Absolutely. I agree with that, too.
Well, please, let's meet at one of the conventions or something, and we'll have a jolly good time, and we'll do this again.
I
think we should do
that. Absolutely hope so. Kenny, your website is www.kennykingston.org. And everybody should bookmark that and watch for the new
yeah.
book coming out.
Yep.
And also watch for the any announcements on all these exciting projects that you've got going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for spending an enchanting hour with us.
Yes, thank you.
I say the enchantment is mine.
Oh, well, thank you. We're honored by that. Can
you,
yeah,
you
stay on the line?
We'll talk, and now let's not say have a nice day or a nice night. Always say let's have a nice forever.
Oh, wow.
A Knife Forever, definitely. Can you stay on the
line?
Yeah,
don't leave us just yet. We're not,
Stay on the line. We want to close the show. And
we want to talk to you when we're up
here. Anyway, yes, KennyKingston.org. I have to thank Kenny for coming on. I want to thank Kenneth Biddle.
Kenny and Kenny for coming on, right?
Yes, the two Kennys. And Topher Young for talking about UnivCon 6 that's coming
UnivCon
up
6
in just,
coming up, man.
What, 2 weekends?
2 weekends.
In State College.
Actually, 3 weekends. Oh, it's the third weekend of October.
Excellent. In just a few weekends, State College, Pennsylvania. And with that, this has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Only the corrupt are listened to loudly.
We demand fair and more accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. If we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Hate the media, become the media.